First, in the 5 months since his inauguration, Donald Trump's presidency has had a rocky start. While there have been some wins for the president, including the successful nomination of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, the White House has seen internal dissension, the Russia investigation, and presidential tweets getting in the way.
Our next guest says the president's team could learn lessons and turn things around, but that's only one possible outcome. In a new piece linked on the Central Time Facebook page, she lays out some other possible roads ahead for the Trump administration, from success to chaos and possible impeachment.
Elaine Kmark joins us now. She's a senior fellow in the Governance Studies Program at the Brookings Institution and author of the book Why Presidents Fail and How They Can Succeed Again. Elaine, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And you start that piece, Elaine, by saying, quote, Donald Trump's presidency is off to a very bad start, end quote. What are some of the key problems you've seen over the last 5 months?
I think that this is a president that doesn't quite understand the job or the Constitution or many other things that he's supposed to do. I mean, it's been erratic. He hasn't staffed his government. Usually presidents are quite anxious to get all their people in. He hasn't even appointed most of the people he's supposed to have. His policy making is haphazard. His messaging is contradictory. It's not just the tweets, which are extraordinarily distractive and have been very damaging to him, but it's the fact that the administration has trouble speaking with one voice. And a lot of that comes from the lack of discipline from the president himself. So this is an administration that's got a lot of problems.
And I know in your book, Why Presidents Fail, a big theme was they focus on image and messaging over the actual day-to-day work of governance. When it comes to weighing the Trump administration on that scale, how do things come out?
Well, I mean, my critique of most recent presidents, and it's a bipartisan critique because it's a critique of George W. Bush and Barack Obama, is that they spent so much time on messaging that they forgot to or they didn't give enough time to the proper implementation of their policies. And in the end, when the websites crash, when there are no weapons of mass destruction, when you fail, and guess what? You can't talk your way out of it. It's like a teenager crashing the car. You know, the dents are in the car. You can't talk your way out of it. Well, presidents, once they're president, they're evaluated on actually doing things and getting things done. And Trump has brought this to an entirely new level, because not only is he not accomplishing things, he doesn't have an infrastructure plan, he doesn't have a tax plan, he's bumbling around on health care and didn't lead on that, really followed the Senate, but his communication itself is chaotic and contradictory. So this is a president who's having trouble on both dimensions of presidential leadership.
Talking to Elaine Kmark from the Brookings Institution about possible roads ahead for the Trump administration. In that piece I mentioned earlier, Elaine, you lay out a few different paths we could take. Path number one, lessons learned either by the president or his staff. Trump and his team adapt. That's the most successful outcome you lay out. What would that look like?
Well, we see it from time to time. What it looks like is they roll out a piece of policy. There's a consistent message from the White House coming out. It goes to a team in the administration, or it goes up to the Hill in the form of legislation. That's how normal presidencies work. And from time to time, you see this presidency, you know, attempting that. But they've got a lot of trouble because they don't have capacity. And the president himself will do some things like that speech to Congress he gave a couple months ago, which got lots of praise. And so he'll do something and people say, oh, phew, he's actually...
Elaine, can you hear me? Lost Elaine Kmark for the moment from the Brookings Institution. We'll try to talk to her and bring her back on. Talking about a piece she wrote, we have this linked on the Central Time Facebook page, looking at possible roads ahead for the Donald Trump administration off to a very, very rocky start, she says, and she lays out a few possible outcomes from getting things together to possible chaos or even impeachment. Elaine, do we have you back?
Yeah, you got me back. I'm so sorry about that.
That's okay. These things happen. So you were talking about getting back on track. So what would make that happen? What is not happening that needs to happen? Who would need to lead that to get the Trump administration on track?
Well, somebody needs to work very, very closely with the president to keep him from either contradicting agreed upon paths that the rest of his government is doing, and to stop him from doing things that are counterproductive to his own presidency. I mean, the thing that's astonishing to me is that there is no evidence that the president was involved in anything to do with the Russians in terms of his campaign. Maybe some people around him were, but no evidence that he is. And yet he has consistently, by tweeting, he has consistently done things that make everybody think he's guilty. Okay, so somebody's got to say, you got to stop doing this. I mean, he shoots himself in the foot with some regularity. And that is not helping him to create an orderly administration that can get something done.
I guess a defender of the administration might say, well, we said that all through the campaign. He would say something that appeared to be a deal breaker for somebody running for the presidency of the United States. And somehow it worked out in the end. Is there a possibility that this is just a different style that could ultimately get good results?
Well, no, it's not, because campaign is only about words, right? A campaign is only about words and promises. A presidency is about delivering. And so if you can kind of get by with a chaotic and unusual campaign. If you don't deliver on what people expect from you, then you will have a failed presidency. And so far, their own behaviors are undercutting their effectiveness.
So that brings us to path number two. Path number one was people learn lessons, do better. The second one is no lessons learned and chaos and maybe a loss of presidential power. What does that look like?
Well, we're already seeing a little bit of this. I mean, if the presidency continues to be as ineffective as it has been, then what you're going to see is in different areas, you're going to see power move away from the American president. In international relations, we see a resurgence of China, and we see a resurgence in Europe of leadership from France and Germany. In areas like climate change, we see a resurgence of leadership from governors, particularly Governor Jerry Brown, who, after all, runs a state which, if it were a country, would be one of the biggest countries in the world. And you see a resurgence of leadership from corporate America in climate change, of all things. And in healthcare and in taxation, I think we've seen, and I think we will see, a resurgence of leadership from the Congress. The Trump administration hasn't been very involved in the crafting of the healthcare bills. They don't know enough, and they don't have the capacity. So it's really been left up to the Congress to do it, and I believe that will be the case on tax policy as well. So if they can't sort of get a handle on the president's behavior and it builds some capacity in the White House, I think you'll see power move away from the White House and, you know, people kind of ignore them.
There have been complaints on the sort of constitutional balance of powers issue that the executive branch, the presidency, has had too much power, gotten too much power in recent decades. Big picture, would it be such a bad thing if Congress stepped up and got more authority?
No, not necessarily. Let's face it, this is the genius of American government, is the balance of power and the separation of powers. So you've got three equal branches here, and it seems to be working pretty aggressively. The judicial branch has already stopped twice Trump's immigration policy, although today the Supreme Court gave him a partial win, and then they're going to consider it again. Congress has been really leading on health care, and I expect Congress will lead on tax reform as well. So it's not bad. You see other areas, and of course the judiciary is moving ahead with an investigation of Trump and his campaign and the possible Russian connections, and they're not deterred by the president, you know, insulting them all the time and insulting judges, et cetera. So, I mean, the balance of powers, the separation of powers, frankly, is working quite well.
We're talking to Elaine Kmark from the Brookings Institution. She says the Trump administration got off to a rocky start and needs to adapt and learn from its mistakes or risk chaos or even, as we'll talk about in just a few minutes, possible impeachment.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the first half year of the Trump administration? What would it take to settle things down after some early trouble? Should the president change his leadership style? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Elaine Kmark is with us from the Brookings Institution. In a recent piece, she laid out some possible roads ahead for the Trump administration, everything from a successful adaptation after early problems to impeachment.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the Trump administration will be able to navigate out of some early rapids? What would have to happen to make that happen? Should the president change his style when it comes to Twitter or stick with it? What are you watching for in the ongoing Russia investigation? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Elaine, so far we've looked at lessons learned, things get better, lessons not learned, chaos continues. And then the third option, you look at a couple different paths here, possible removal from office.
Yeah, there's two ways you can remove a president from office, according to the Constitution. The first, of course, we know about impeachment, and it is clear that there is some grounds on obstruction of justice. And again, this has come out of the president's own mouth. I mean, this isn't even the result of an investigation, because he has admitted to, you know, wanting to get rid of Comey because he thinks the Russia investigation is just, you know, a mess and a political move out to get him. So there's clearly, you can clearly make a case for obstruction of justice, and that, of course, is why we impeached Richard Nixon, or why he was resigned right ahead of impeachment. And so it's a very serious charge, and he seems to have walked right into it. Now, you know, the fact is that he did so publicly. I mean, Richard Nixon knew what obstruction of justice was and tried to hide it. The fact that Donald Trump did it so unbelievably publicly, it kind of makes people think, well, maybe he didn't really know what he was doing. Maybe we can't impeach him. Maybe he shouldn't be impeached because he was just naive about this. So that's one possibility. And of course, what we don't know is if there will be a smoking gun in the Russia investigation. In Watergate, people thought that the Nixon campaign had been up to some pretty shady behaviors, but it took 2 years to prove that Nixon himself had been aware of those and had sanctioned the cover-up. We don't know that Donald Trump has been guilty of anything to do with Russians, and so until we know something more about that, I don't think this will get very serious. The other path to removing a president is very unusual. It's the 25th Amendment. And, of course, it was written in for those instances when a president is incapacitated and can't fulfill his duties. I mean, if he's having a gallbladder operation and is, you know, under anesthesia, he obviously can't be president for those hours during the operation and afterwards. But the question, there is, in fact, a further piece of that, which is incapacitation that is voted on by half the cabinet and then goes to the House and Senate, where two-thirds of the people had to vote that he can't fulfill, he's not capable of fulfilling the job. You know, this has been batted around because, after all, we saw at the end of Ronald Reagan's term, we saw the beginning of Alzheimer's. We didn't know it then, but now looking back, it's clear that he had some early Alzheimer's. He had a very talented wife who was very close to him and politically savvy, who stood by him and whispered things in his ear and basically covered for him until his term was up. So we never really kind of put it together at the time. But, you know, people who become president tend to be older. Older people get a lot of illnesses. I'm one of them. And various, you know, things go wrong. And so it is entirely possible that some of this chaotic behavior on the part of President Trump is an indication of something worse, in which case the 25th Amendment would become a vehicle for his removal. Both the impeachment and the 25th Amendment are kind of extreme and very, very unusual, but they have been talked about just because this presidency has been off to such an unusual and chaotic start.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Ray is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Ray.
Hi. I was born in 1961, and I grew up during the Watergate era, where tapes in the White House brought the downfall of Richard Nixon. And friends of mine at work mentioned that previous presidents probably had recording devices. John F. Kennedy probably had one, and I don't know who else they mentioned, but the White House belongs to us, the people, and I am just stunned that we have to rely on Donald Trump's word that there were no recordings made, whether digital or analog or whatever, of him and Matt Flynn. And couldn't we ask Mr. Obama, if former President Obama, if when he left the White House, was he aware, were there recording devices there, whether tapes or digital? I mean, this is just baffling to me that we have to rely on this reality show clown.
Ray, thanks for the call. I want to get Elaine in on this question of President Trump alluding to possible tapes and then saying recently, no, I didn't make tapes. I know of no tapes, but maybe there were tapes. And the transparency as to whether there were any kind of tapes. So what do you make of all that?
Well, remember that the special prosecutor has subpoena power, and he will be able to get to the issue of whether or not they are tapes. If there are tapes, the special prosecutor will get them. What broke open Watergate was the Supreme Court saying that Nixon had to hand over his Oval Office tapes. Now, the decision to tape a president is the president's decision, okay, whether or not to have this installed in the White House. I know Lyndon Johnson had tapes in the White House, and, of course, Richard Nixon did. But it's not an automatic thing. Do you know what I mean? It's not, presidents don't go into the Oval Office and be required to tape everything. So I don't believe that President Obama had a taping system. I think this is up to the individual president. Nixon wanted to have an account for history. And, you know, and Nixon did a lot of really historic, important things. But in the end, it was the taping system that proved that he knew about obstruction of justice. He had ordered the obstruction, and that's what got him removed from office.
Ray, thanks for the call. Go next to David in Duluth. David, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm going to say right off the bat that, anyways, if you want my opinion, is that Mr. Donald Trump needs to be impeached or the 25th Amendment be brought up. But I want to point this out to you, ma'am. I believe, even though most of the people out there in this country don't believe that even our Democrat, mostly all the Republicans in the Senate or in the Congress will ever touch him.
Gotcha, David. It is a tall order for a Republican Congress to impeach or vote for the removal of, via the 25th Amendment, a Republican president, Elaine.
Oh, the caller is absolutely right. Dave is his name.
Yes.
Is absolutely right. It is a tall order. It is very difficult. And frankly, it's not just that it's controlled by the Republicans. It's that removal of a president from office is a very, very serious step, especially when, you know, he was elected by the people. That's why we have to just be patient and let this investigation go on. The investigations like this can go in all sorts of different ways. And we will just, there's subpoena power, there's grand juries working on this, and I think we will know. It may take as much as a year, it may take a year and a half, but I think we will know whether or not there was any wrongdoing affecting that the president was involved in that rises to the level of impeachment.
As we wrap up, Elaine, staying with those Republicans in Congress, given that as you're describing things, leadership isn't coming from within the White House to right the ship here, are there things that leaders, Republican leaders in Congress, could be doing to help make a more successful presidency?
Well, I think that what's happening is that Mike Pence, the vice president, is spending a great deal of time with the Republicans in Congress. He has an office not just in the Senate, but in the House of Representatives. He is campaigning every weekend practically for Republican members. And so I think, and when he has gone abroad, Mike Pence has clearly led a more traditional American foreign policy than the president has. And so I think that the righting of the ship of state, if you will, if it's going to happen, I suspect it will happen under the leadership of the vice president. And, you know, maybe that'll get us through the next couple of years.
Elaine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
That was Elaine Kamark. She's a senior fellow in the Governance Studies Program at the Brookings Institution, author of the book Why Presidents Fail and How They Can Succeed Again. Been talking about possible roads ahead for President Trump's administration after a rocky start. You can read more. We have a link to a recent piece that Elaine wrote. It's over at the Central Time Facebook page. You can give it a look and share your thoughts on the topic as well. Again, that's on the Central Time Facebook page.